Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and the title of today's show is How to Know When It's Time to Go. In other words, how to know when God's trying to move you. Moves are very often a physical move, like from one town to another, but they can be job moves, they can be relationship moves as well. Okay, I want to start first by saying, and if you've seen the video that I just made, you already know this, that the Lord has shown me that many believers are right now entering into a season of a lot of change and a lot of renewing of things. So only you will know if you're entering this season or not, but the signs will be pretty obvious if you are. I know several people that have entered in. If you're experiencing a lot of real sudden change in a relationship, a job, or like if you have job loss and you're going to have to move suddenly and you weren't planning it, you might want to watch that video. It's dated January 12, 2016. Okay, as many of you know, I wrote a book called The Wilderness Companion that's about my many trips into the wilderness, and they have been many. Very often, trips into the wilderness begin like this. They begin with several very sudden changes that you're not expecting, and you don't really see it coming, and all of a sudden you're getting hit from all sides and you find yourself in a position that you never dreamed. Like my last one, I was facing the possibility of homelessness, which was never even a remote possibility for me because I've always been such, you know, a workaholic and everything. These will most often be situations that are beyond your control. I want to start out by talking about what it feels like to be where you know for sure God placed you, someplace that He placed you or someplace He led you. I've been in Princeton in early March. It will be 7 years since I've come to Princeton. And when God brought me to Princeton, He literally spoke to me. I was in Woodward, Oklahoma, and the job I had been on had ended. Oil had cycled down, so there was no more work. But I was waiting for God to tell me, you know, what I needed to do. And He spoke to me and He said, I want you to start a fast. And He said, I want you to start packing because I'm moving you from here. I said, okay. And I started packing. He never did tell me. It was a month later. I was cleaning out a storage stall I had. A month later, my son was with me. God had told me to call him and have him come stay with me if he would. And the U-Haul was going to be finished loading that day. And I said, Lord, will you at least tell me what direction to go in? Because I don't even know which way to point my truck, you know, when we get this thing loaded. It was 9:30 that night when we finally finished. I've never, ever started a move at night before then. But the Lord showed me in my spirit a sign flashing that said Texas. So I said, okay, I'll just head for Texas. And the next morning, we had to stop at a motel just a few hours into the drive. About 3 hours into the drive, I had to take a motel room because I couldn't drive any further. And the next morning, I was praying, and I said, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. And I was just heading south, you know, on the interstate. And He showed me a vision of a map, and He drew a circle around this particular area that I live in now. So I said, okay, I know that area. I'll go to McKinney. I'll take a motel room there, and then you can tell me what town I'm supposed to rent a house in. And so that's what I did. And I would say that it was an exciting process, but it was more terrifying than it was exciting. There were no jobs then. Nobody had any work. I only had a little bit of savings, and I had spent part of that, you know, on the move. I'd given away 2/3 of what I owned just so I could fit the rest into a U-Haul because, you know, I can't drive a U-Haul truck. And so I did what I had to do to obey Him. And it was pretty much like He said to Abraham, I want you to leave your father's land and I'll tell you where you're going on the way. And that's the way it was. But to me, when God speaks to me to do something or go somewhere, I don't consider, the circumstances. I don't consider what if. I don't think about what ifs, because there's a saying that where God guides, He always provides. So I know the key to being provided for is to always be where God put me, because then I say, Lord, Your promise to us is if we obey You, if we hearken to Your voice, which is what you do when you go where He tells you to go, that You'll provide for us. And I'm a tither, so I stand on the tithing promise as well. When I first came to the Dallas area on God's leading in 1998, I ate lunch on $5 a week because I refused to not tithe, because I knew I had to have a promise to stand on. And if I didn't have God's help, I knew I wasn't going to make it, because I was making less than $10 an hour. And I had all kind of bills. I had a bunch of bills I couldn't pay because I wasn't making enough money. And because God had told me to get out of debt about 8 months earlier, and I'd started and then stopped. Everything that He tells you or leads you to do is so important. It's so important to be able to hear Him and then to obey whatever He says. So once I got into the house at Princeton that He led me to, I had peace. I had peace when I was leaving Woodward, even though everybody was going, "You're doing what?" Nobody I knew, hardly, except maybe my mentor, thought really that I was doing the right thing. They thought I had heard God wrong, or, you know, something, because it just sounded insane to leave a place where you had a place to live, even though you don't have a job, but you have a place to stay, in the Great Recession, and go, you don't even know where you're going, and you only have a little bit of money. And to everybody else, it looked completely insane. And I agree, it would have looked that way. But when you know you've heard from God, you just obey. You just do what He says. And I stood on that. I knew I had heard from Him. And even when I had the meltdowns, I knew I had heard from Him. I was just really scared because I hadn't heard the rest of it, and I didn't know how long it was going to be. But I knew I had heard from Him. You don't give away 2/3 of your belongings on a whim or on a maybe. And you don't go on a 75-day solid food fast on a whim. Those aren't things you do because your emotions led you to. Those are things you only do if God tells you to do, right? So after I got in the house, I still had great peace. It wasn't a great house, but it was a house. And, you know, I was drawing unemployment, so I continued to do my job searches every week because that's required, and I wasn't going to lie and say I did them when I didn't. And the hardest thing for me to deal with, I think, was I didn't have anything to do. I have hobbies, but I didn't have any money to do any of my hobbies. So I just was kind of hanging out. God had said something about my husband, so I was thinking, you know, I was going to live in the house a couple of months, and then, you know, my husband was going to show up. I didn't even want to buy a bed because I said, well, Lord, my husband probably has furniture, and we don't want to have two sets of everything. I mean, I thought he was going to come right away. You would think I would know after, you know, 13, 14 years of waiting, which is how long it was then, that it's not that fast with God. Somebody wrote me an email and said that one of the words I had put out said that the end of all things is at hand, and that it hadn't happened, and so they believed I was a false prophet. They weren't going to follow their prophecies anymore. Okay, fine. But I want to call to your attention, you have to remember, God's timing is different than ours. When Jesus first started preaching, what did He say? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when He talked to the disciples, it sounded like the end was going to come like the next day, right? The clock in heaven always says now. And the Lord always sees everything as if it's right now. And there's no time in heaven. There's only time down here. So it's very different for us. So we just have to keep on keeping on and know that His timing is perfect, and He wants as many people to get to heaven as possible. So after I got into the house, I had peace. The provision was there. Every month God had to do a miracle because I only had half enough to meet my bills. But every month He would do one. And I was not in ministry then. I was not doing any kind of work. I wasn't selling anything online. I had no job. I had, you know, the only income I had coming in was unemployment. But every month God did a miracle. So the peace was there and the provision was there. The other thing that you will see when you are where God has placed you is you will see fruit being born for the kingdom. And not long after I got to Princeton, the Lord had me start going on YouTube. That was the next step. Start making videos for YouTube. And then He put me on Blog Talk. And then later He had me build the blog site. So it was step by step, you know, the way He ordained it. And, you know, I tried very hard to minister to people just by sharing things that God had done for me, because I'm not a trained minister. What I try to do is just share what the Lord has done for me, because that's all I have. In the end, we don't have anything to give to other people unless we can give them Jesus. Okay, how does God lead us? How does He take us someplace else when He wants us to go? If you can hear Him speak, He will speak to you. The way I hear Him is in my spirit. It's the way most people hear Him, because He lives in us. He lives in our spirit. I will hear this small, quiet, soft-spoken voice inside me speak. And I know it's Him when He speaks. I mean, you just know, and there's no way to really explain that, except you just know when it's God. And because if He tells you to do something like start a fast and I'll tell you later when you're going to stop, you're not going to tell yourself to do that, okay? So, He will speak to you. He leads you with a strong inner leading. You feel a strong feeling to do something, and it's not connected to anything that you emotionally want. When I was in Woodward, my choice would have been to move somewhere closer to my mom so I could spend more time with my mom. You know, of course, I didn't want to leave mom because I knew she was in her 80s and that there's no way she had very much longer. She could have gone any day. And the Lord told me later, after I was in Princeton, that part of the reason He moved me here was because if I was still going to visit her every day, it would have been much harder for me when she passed. And, you know, it was God's mercy. Again, God is so very merciful, y'all. But my choice would have been to stay up there closer to my other family members, my sister, my nieces, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter. But God's choice was totally different. So when you are where He has led you, you will have peace. You will have provision. When He is leading you, you will feel a very strong feeling. Okay, well, I'm doing this, but I have a feeling I need to do this. I live here, but I have a real strong feeling I need to move over there. I need to look over there for a job. I need to look in that state for a job. That may be a leading from God. Now, if you're single and you've met somebody online, you know, maybe you met somebody online and they live in Memphis, and all of a sudden you have a feeling that you need to move to Memphis, I wouldn't trust that feeling, because if they live in Memphis and you have the feeling to go there, that's more than likely going to be connected to your emotions, okay? You have to learn to discern between the two. When God leads you, it has nothing to do with what you want to do. In order to follow God's will completely, you need to not have a will of your own. George Mueller said, "Seek to have no will of your own so that you can honestly say you are willing to do the will of God." That's from a book called The George Mueller of Bristol. And he was the one that built the orphanages and took care of the children. And he never did fundraisers, y'all. He did all that on faith. Another way that God leads is with open doors and closed doors. Let's say that you've lived in an area for a while. Let's say that I've lived here for a while and I'm working. And all of a sudden, the company I work for closes down. Okay, well, there went my provision. So I look for another job and I apply all these places and I go interview and no doors open. No jobs come. I don't get any job offers. That's a closed door on provision. And one of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to bring provision another way, or He is moving me. Remember when Elijah was at the brook Cherith and the brook dried up? Which, incidentally, the brook dried up because Elijah had declared a drought. But nonetheless, the brook dried up. If he had stayed after God said, "Okay, Elijah, it's time to go to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow to feed you." If he had not obeyed and gone to Zarephath, then the ravens would have stopped bringing him food too. Because after the open and closed doors, the next thing that happens, if let's say God's trying to speak to you and you're real busy and you just don't hear Him, or you're not sure it's God, so you keep going on, you know, keeping on, doing what you're doing, you're looking for a job, you know, and you're not hearing that God wants to move you, the next thing that will happen is He will try to speak to you through your circumstances. He will start closing doors around you. He will remove the anointing for where you are, which means all of a sudden a place that looked beautiful to you, it's like, I don't really want to be here anymore. I don't like this, or I don't like that, or I don't like those people. I don't want to have that neighbor, whatever. The anointing goes where you're, the Lord moves the anointing to where you're supposed to be. And if you tarry too long in a place where you're not supposed to be anymore, that anointing has already gone and moved ahead of you, and you won't like where you are. Okay? When my niece didn't get the message from God that she was supposed to move from Amarillo to Elk City or to Western Oklahoma, when I remember telling her that I thought God was trying to move her, and she said, I think he is too, but I'm not sure yet, and so I'm praying for confirmation. So she kept praying. She kept praying, and they started cutting her hours at work where she worked, and they cut them way down. The next thing that happened, she kept tarrying because she's like, I'm not sure, I don't want to, or whatever. And she kept tarrying, and she got robbed of her rent money. And she tarried another week, and she got robbed again. Had never been robbed before up there at all. That's the kind of thing that will happen. He will try to speak to you first. God's a very merciful God. He will always try the most gentle route first to get through to you. And if you can't hear him, he may speak to you through a prophetic voice around you, or he may speak to you through a sermon on TV or a sermon that you hear on the radio. He spoke to me one time through a billboard. I mean, God will speak through whatever is available in your environment to speak to you through. It doesn't matter where you hear it. It only matters that you do hear it. When you hear something and it hits you right there in your spirit and you go, wow, that's God speaking to me, then you know that's for you. When you hear that and you have that feeling, when it quickens your spirit, that means that word was for you. That message was from God to you. And it may be to other people too, but it's to you. And that's all that matters, okay? I did have emotions about where I wanted to move when I was in Woodward, but I didn't consider those because I had no plan to move at all until God spoke to me and he said, I'm moving you. I said, okay, Lord. And I didn't say, can I go here? Can I live down there where mom is? I didn't say any of that. I left it to God. I knew that he already had a plan. So I've been here in Princeton for 7 years, and I've not enjoyed all of it, but I don't jump up and move because my motto is don't move till God moves you. If he puts you where you are, you're not supposed to be anyplace else until he puts you somewhere else, okay? As long as I go where God tells me to go, and I pay my tithes, which I do very faithfully. Jerry and I are tithers. We don't tithe to this ministry. We tithe to other ministries. Many of the pastors I have known believe that their tithes should go to their own ministry. I disagree with that. The reason I disagree with that is because back in the Old Testament, the Lord commanded the priests to give a tithe of the tithe. And if they were given that, they had to give it somewhere else. There are a lot of different ways that people in the Bible were led, were moved around. Elijah had declared a drought, and there was a famine in the land, and God spoke to him to go to the brook Cherith, and he went to the brook Cherith, and he left when God told him to leave. Jacob got in trouble for deceiving Esau, and so Esau was going to kill him. So he left. His mother said, go stay with my brother Laban. He went and stayed with Laban. Was that God's will? It definitely was, because that's where he met Rachel and Leah. Abraham, God spoke to him and said, pack up your stuff. You're leaving your father's house. You're leaving your father's country. Abraham was moved by his obedience. He heard God. He obeyed. Joseph was moved by being betrayed by his brothers. Was it God's will? Absolutely, it was God's will, because he saved whole nations from that famine. Jesus was led of the Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So there's a lot of ways that you can be moved. You can be moved when your job's gone and you can't pay your rent anymore. But hopefully you hear God before that and know it's coming. Nothing wrong with your job ending. Your time there may be up. God may be done with you on that job. And that's fine. It's gentler if you can hear him and God says, God told me in Woodward, he said, your job's about to end. And when he told me that, I stopped all extra spending. So I knew, he told me about 30 days before everybody else knew. So when the announcement came, I was not one of the people sitting there with shock on my face. And there were a lot who were, and I felt sorry for him. So I knew the job was going to end. Before I went to the job in Woodward, he spoke to me a day or two before that, and he said, you're about to be sent to Woodward. Well, I had asked to go to Woodward before that, and my boss had said, no, I don't want you there. I need you where you're at, because I need you to supervise so-and-so, these people. And I said, okay. And then just days later, the Lord said, you're going to Woodward. And I said, okay, good deal. And sure enough, I got a call. I think it was either the next day or the next day after that, and I was off that afternoon, and I was actually already moving my extra stuff over to a storage stall in Woodward because I knew I was going there. And my boss called me, and he goes, I'm sending you to Woodward. And I didn't say I knew you were, but I was just like, okay, there's the phone call. It helps a lot if you know ahead of time because you can start, you know, preparing for that. If you know you're moving, you can start packing your stuff, right? I looked at the statistics on moving. The average American will move over 11 times in his or her lifetime. That's what I found in one survey. And it says the wealthiest people move the least. And some people move to get a better house, a cheaper house, or they move because of foreclosure or eviction. One survey showed the average American moves every 5 years. And I counted the times that I had moved, because I consider myself something of an expert on moving, since leaving my first husband in 1987, I have moved, not counting jobs, 14 times. Not counting job moves. There were more moves that were from that. So I've moved a lot. A whole lot. And I can count the ones that were where God told me. I know exactly which ones God said, I'm moving you. Some of them were moves went back when I was a Christian, but I was still very carnal, and I would get into relationship, and then I would move somewhere for that relationship. And then, of course, when the relationship ended, I had to move somewhere else. I don't recommend that, by the way. Other reasons that people gave in the surveys for moving, you know, job-related, better job, closer to work, home became too small or became too big, or, you know, the grass just looked greener on that side of the fence. Their marital status changed. They retired. The neighborhood they lived in had changed. I've moved because of that before. Or they had health issues. Maybe they needed to be in a more favorable environment or closer to good medical care. A few people moved to pursue a dream. So there are lots of reasons that people move as much as they do. But when you move, when God moves you, there are even more. You know, to learn to drive, you have to be able to read the signs. In order to follow God's leading, you have to be able to read the signs. When you think you might be being led, but you're not sure, there are a number of things to consider to discern whether it is God leading you or something else. You want to consider, first of all, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, things being the things that we need to live. So be sure that if you are considering a move on your own, you're seeking first what's best for the kingdom in your heart. The main thing, the thing that I recommend most is don't have a will of your own either way. If you get rid of your will, Lord, I don't have an opinion about that either way. You move me where you want me to go. Then you will be able to stay in God's will more easily. Peace. Always, always, always be led by peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Always be led by peace. When you lose your peace, you're out of line someplace. You're out of the way. When you are in God's will, no matter how crazy what you are doing looks to other people, if you have peace, you're going the way God wants you to go. Okay? Don't be led by anything else. Do not be led by emotions. Do not be led by the opinions of what other people think you should do. Don't be led by the opinion of what you think you should want to do or what you should be doing at this time of your life. None of that makes a bit of difference one way or the other. Okay? If God puts you where you are, do not move until he moves you. Okay? If you really feel that God put you where you are, then you don't need to move until he makes it clear to you that you're supposed to move. All right? Okay, now, some of the ways that God moves us, let's go back over this. He speaks to us. Okay? Directly to us if we are able to hear him. And usually that's going to be in a time when everything's quiet, you're driving, or you're in the shower, or you're reading the word. You know, you're sitting where you're quiet, where you can actually hear him. When someone has a still small voice, a quiet voice, unless the environment is quiet, you cannot hear them. They may be speaking all day, but you can't hear them. Okay? He may speak to you through a trusted prophetic friend or person at your church or at your work. Not a hit and miss prophetic type, okay? Not somebody that makes 85 predictions a week and four of them come true. All right? Anybody can hit those kind of odds. You know what I'm saying? A trusted prophetic source. All right? If you're listening to a sermon and you feel something hit your spirit and you know that was God, you need to put that, you need to write that down somewhere. Journal it. Because when you journal things, you can go back to them and read them again. When you get more pieces, you may get it in pieces and then go back and put the pieces together, okay? Okay, number two. He will remove the anointing where you are. You will stop really enjoying where you are. He can put you in a terrible place, a place that no one else would be happy in. But if the anointing is on you to be there, you'll be okay with it. You'll be like, no, it's cool. I'm good. You know, I'm happy here. If the anointing is on you to be in a place or do a certain thing, there will be an ease to it to you that other people don't have. Okay? Number three, he will send confirming words and or signs. Maybe you're feeling that strong inner leading suddenly to, let's say, to go to Denver, okay, and find a job. Okay, then a few days later, maybe you get a phone call from a relative or a friend there who just lost their tenant or they lost their roommate and they need another one. Or maybe you suddenly get offered a job there from, you know, your friend or brother-in-law or something. That would be a confirming sign. Okay? Number four. If you are not getting the message that it's time to start packing up, God will start speaking to you through your circumstances. Okay? Maybe you're renting and your landlord suddenly sells the property and they tell you you got to get out. Your job ends or your hours are drastically cut. When God was trying to move me the very first time from Sayre, Oklahoma, back down here to this area, and I didn't know how to read these signs then. I apparently didn't get the message. And then my hours were cut from, I think I had something like 30 hours at this little part-time job down to 3 hours for the next week, y'all. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. And I just about panicked because my rent at that little house I had there was only $200 a month, and I couldn't even pay $200. And so I knew I couldn't pay my rent. And when I saw the schedule, I told the lady that owned it, I said, you can give those 3 hours to somebody else because that's not going to help me. And I just basically quit the job and went home and started packing because I knew I couldn't stay. I didn't have any money. And I had a storage stall already, so I just moved my stuff. And then I started praying and asking God where he wanted me to go because I knew I wasn't staying there. So he will try to speak to you, but if he can't get through to you because I was too busy, then he will speak to your circumstances. You will lose the place you live. You will lose your job or you will lose the hours at your job. And by the way, anytime God is trying to move you out of working or out of the paycheck system, if you persist and try to work, you will lose that job in another way. Generally, you will get fired, in case you don't know that. So what will happen is the brook will dry up. You're like Elijah, and the brook will dry up. And then the next thing that will happen is the ravens will stop coming and the food will run out. So it's important to be aware of how God speaks to us and to obey. When you are supposed to be moving, the doors where you are will start closing one by one. And the doors are opening someplace else, but until you get the message, you won't see the open doors. You'll just see the closed ones, okay? If you are feeling something or you see the doors closing, pray and ask God for confirming signs of what he wants you to do. He will give them to you. Ask him to speak a word to you through someone to tell you where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do. And I don't mean me. I just mean somebody in your environment because I can't get words for everybody, y'all. I can't even always get a word for me. If you want a word to come through me, then pray for it to come through when I'm recording. When I'm recording videos and when I'm recording radio shows is when I get those. I hope that this is a blessing to you. I was really surprised when God told me a lot of people were in this season of great change because I had seen it in two or three people around me, but I just didn't realize that it was, you know, a trend. It was happening to a lot of people. So I hope that this will help you to discern if you're one of those people going into this season of change. He's been giving me words about it every day, and he's given me some words ahead of time that I set to post on the blog site for the day that they're for. And yesterday, on Tuesday the 12th, I had a word set to post and it didn't post on time. It was yesterday or Monday. Maybe it was Monday the 11th. I had a word that was supposed to be scheduled to post and it didn't post on time. It didn't work right, so I apologize for that. When I have the word ahead of time, I'm trying to set it to post early so y'all can get them earlier. So check the website. He may speak to you through one of the words. But he will speak to you through something. If you're paying attention, you'll get the message. If you need more confirmation, ask him for confirmation. He'll send it. And then just obey. Don't worry about the details. He'll work those out. Just obey. Remember, wherever God guides, he also provides. So go where he guides you. Be sure that you tithe and offer so that you qualify for the promise of the tithe, the promise that you'll always have enough. God bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkus on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkus, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning. Have occasional strong urges to do the wrong thing? Things that mess up an otherwise Christian lifestyle? Is the sin nature rearing up, or could it be something else? Spiritual soul tunnels are well-disguised avenues to reach a person who has turned from a formerly unhealthy relationship. If this sounds like it could describe you, you need Glenda Linko's new ebook, Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind. For $3.99 at Amazon and wingsofprophecy.com, that's Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind.